Christ the King Sunday. The first lesson is taken from Ezekiel 34. For this is what the Sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines and in all the settlements in the land. I will tend them in a good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie down in good grazing land, and there they will be fed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the Sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. But the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says to them. See, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Because you shove with flank and shoulder, butting all the weak sheep with your horns until you have driven them away, I will save my flock, and they will no longer be plundered. I will judge between one sheep and another. I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them, and he will tend them, and be their shepherd. I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. This is the word of the Lord. The second lesson is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in turn, Christ the first fruits, then when he comes those who belong to him. Then the end will come, when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For he has put everything under his feet. Now when it says that everything has been put under him, it is clear that this does not include God himself, who put everything under Christ. When he has done this, then the Son himself will be made subject to him who put everything under him, so that God may be all in all. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go visit you? The king will reply, Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Then he will say to those on his left, Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or needing clothes, or sick, were in prison and did not help you? He will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, and the righteous to eternal life. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Well, I greet you once again in the everlasting name of Jesus. Well, we just finished Thanksgiving and all that meant for each and every one of us. Nothing better than finishing a great meal with family and friends and taking some time to reconnect and to renew and to reflect. I hope that you thank God for the many blessings that you received during this past year, because I'm sure they have been many. And soon it'll be time to look forward to Christmas. The Christmas time and that season of brightness and celebration and excitement that that time brings. But until we get there, today we finish out our church year thinking about all that we've read in Scripture during the past year, all that had been brought out in the messages or in the classes that maybe you attended, and how God put into place His plan for salvation, our salvation. And so today we think about that salvation, the completeness of His purpose for mankind and for us as individuals. You know, when I think of completeness in the spiritual sense, I think of the word amen. Because the word amen is written in Scripture many times after prayers, after psalms, after letters in Scripture. In fact, it's used some 77 times in the New Testament alone. And we routinely say amen, don't we? After we complete our conversation with God. Now, the word amen comes from a Hebrew word that means truly or surely so be it. You know, generally it's to confirm what was in the words spoken before, confirm that they are true, that they are, you know, we pray for the fulfillment of what has been said. For to me, amen is a completion word. It's like saying, that's it, it's finished. Enough said. There's no more to say. Jesus used the word amen in His teachings to kind of indicate His divinity, because He was saying that what He was saying was absolutely true. As a matter of fact, in the book of Revelation, the revelation that Jesus gave to John, He told John to write letters to seven of the churches in that area. And in chapter 3, in verse 13, He told John, to the angel of the church in Laodicea, write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. You see, Jesus called Himself the Amen. And in fact, He is the great Amen. He is the one who will complete God's plan for our salvation that was in effect since the beginning of creation. God created humankind, and He saw that that perfection that He created went against His will, and as such ushered in all kinds of evil and the death into this perfect world that He created. And since the fall of mankind in the garden, all of His creation has been subject to decay and death and devolution, as they say. God's plan, therefore, was to rescue us. Those who have faith in Jesus, those who believe He is our shepherd, by removing our sin through His death and His resurrection. Now, we have seen parts of that plan unfold as Jesus took on our flesh as that baby in Bethlehem. so that He could take on our sinfulness. And He can rescue us. And by His death and resurrection, He destroyed death and its hold on us. And He opened the way so that we can be reconciled back to our Creator. You see the completion there? The full circle, back to the beginning. The great Amen. When Jesus returns in glory, He will bring about completion of what He began at the beginning of time. As the writer of Hebrews wrote, Jesus is the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. We who are baptized into His death are washed clean by those waters, and we will reign with Him in all eternity in the next creation, heaven. He will bring us into the fullness of our new life with Him in all eternity. He will seal us in His kingdom forever. And we will see His glory face to face. And so today we praise and we honor the great Amen for His completion of our salvation by ushering us into that forever paradise. And that's the second reason I titled this the great Amen. The great Amen of heaven, the completion. The end of the church year brings us one year further away from when Jesus came the first time as a baby at Christmas time. And 1 year closer to His second coming as the judge, as our groom in all of heaven at the wedding feast of the Lamb. Because heaven will be in the completed new Jerusalem, where we will live with God forever and ever. And so when we think about heaven, what do you think about? What can we expect? Well, if you're like me, heaven is something, yes, I long for, I hope for, to receive one day, but since we don't really know that much about it, that it's something that's not on the forefront of our minds each and every day. We have enough to think about in this world that we live in. We have enough to do right here, right now. But Holy Scripture does give us foreknowledge of what is to come. The culmination of our temporary life that we're living in right now, we're on this old earth and looking forward to the reward of heaven because of our faith in Jesus. Now, most people look at the book of Revelation or maybe the discussion that Jesus has or maybe some of the words of Paul to rely on receiving a glimpse of that heaven. Some people think about heaven as the eighth day of creation. You know, God created everything we know and we see in six days. On the seventh day, He rested. And we seem to be in that seventh day of rest all of our lives. But at the second coming, Jesus, the eighth day of creation will begin, whereby a new heaven and a new earth are created as detailed in John's book of Revelation. In chapter 21, he said this, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared like a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people. He will dwell with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.'" The old order of things that we know and rely on will be no more It will disappear. And a newer and much, much better world awaits us. What does Scripture tell us about heaven? Did you catch that there would be no more sea? Someone told me in the first service after I said that, they said, well, I guess I'll have to fish in freshwater. There'll be no more moon. Because we won't need them. Because Jesus will be our light source. We'll have new bodies. Our spirits will be united with our new perfect bodies. Bodies like the resurrected Jesus had. Bodies that won't wear out. No more death. No more suffering. No more weeping. No more pain. Only joy and celebration. Wow! Are you getting excited? Everything we know and have seen in action in this life that promotes decay or promotes destruction or promotes death will disappear. Instead, we'll have perfection everywhere, all the time. You know, when I think of all that, I can't really imagine that. But, I tend to sort of give up trying after a while because my puny brain just can't comprehend that. But I do know that it will be wonderful. And I look forward to the day when I see all of that with my new eyes. Also notice how heaven is described as the holy city, the new Jerusalem. Kind of interesting. Jerusalem means dwelling of peace or city of peace. Kind of a far cry from the current Jerusalem, right? It's anything but a city of peace. But when I think of heaven, you know, most of the time, I just don't think of a city. You know, I know there are going to be other people there, but I just don't think of buildings and so forth. But that's what Scripture tells us. As a matter of fact, you remember when Jesus in John 14 was telling his disciples, he said, "My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you?" And so we'll have a place. We'll have rooms to live in. John further goes on in his glimpse of heaven that Jesus told them in the book of Revelation to describe some of the other wonders of heaven. You know, he mentions a city and gold streets and all kind made out of precious jewels and crystals and things like that to denote the absolute gloriousness of heaven and to tell us how valuable and how much worthwhile that will be. But those are things that can only come, you know, we can kind of wrap our minds around them a little bit, but it's going to be so much, much more. Suffice it to say that it will be amazingly beautiful and glorious. But that brings up an important question. What will we be doing in heaven? Well, in today's gospel, we read that the first order of business when Jesus comes again is that he's coming as the judge. Jesus said, "When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His glorious throne. All nations will be gathered before Him. And He will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left." We certainly hope that we're going to be on the right as sheep, right? Jesus goes on to give some insight as to what will happen and how the judging will take place and what will be done. However, we need to remember, yes, we will be part of that gathering of those nations. We will be there. But those of us with faith in Jesus are covered by His blood, are covered by His righteousness, and therefore our sins are forgiven. We will be on the right. That's His promise to us. Now after the judgment, after the separation, and the ones on his left go to their destruction, and we will then be ushered into eternal life with our wonderful Creator, our wonderful Savior, and our eternal life with Him will begin. As I said, heaven is described as the wedding feast of the Lamb, where His church, us, are His bride, and He is our groom. Well, what do you think happens at a wedding feast? Celebration, right? In Jesus' day, the Jewish wedding was the most joyous and the most longest lasting events that occurred. But in heaven, time and space are irrelevant. What we know and what we've experienced so far will disappear. And we will experience boundless joy and boundless love. Why? Because God is love. It's not just that He loves us. Yes, He loves us. It's not just that He shows us love. Yes, He shows us love. But God is love. And so we will be surrounded by God and love forever and always. We will be in the presence of the greatest love that we can't even imagine. So how can you not be grateful to our wonderful and loving God? So much so that we would want to honor Him, that we would want to worship Him, that we would want to love Him back, right? We'll want to sing His praises. We'll be like Ethan, who wrote Psalm 89. He said, I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth, I will make your faithfulness known through all generations. I will declare that your love stands firm forever, that you have established your faithfulness in heaven itself. Yes, we will see His face. You know, He will declare our righteousness and welcome us into His loving arms forever. However, until that day comes, we have a foretaste of the feast to come. We have the opportunity to receive the body and blood of Jesus in Holy Communion. We have the ability to see and to hear His messages to us through Holy Scripture. We have the opportunity to sing His praises in fellowship with other people, other believers. You know, our worship services, they're kind of like a rehearsal to some small degree for that day in heaven. And so considering what lies ahead for us in the life to come, why wouldn't we want to partake in worship services every day? That's the question for all of us. You know, in the Apostles' Creed that we say in many of our worship services, we say we believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. But have we really thought about what that means? Wouldn't we want to participate in the foreshadowing of that right here, right now? Because when the completion of the great Amen comes to pass, we will be adding our amens to what has been, to what is now, and to what will be in the future. We will be singing to the great Amen, like the Old Testament writer ends his Psalm 89. He said, Who is like you, Lord God Almighty? You, Lord, are mighty, and your faithfulness surrounds you. Praise be to the Lord forever. Amen and amen.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is He. Sing a new song to Him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is He. Sing a new song to Him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore You. Clothed in rainbows of living colors, flashes of lightning, rolls of thunder. Blessing and honor, strength and glory and power be to You, the only wise King. Yeah. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore You. Filled with wonder, awestruck wonder at the mention of Your name. Jesus, Your name is power, breath and living water. Such a marvelous mystery, yeah. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Yeah. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore You.
After this, I looked, and there before me a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne in the front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen."
Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. Yeah. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. Yeah. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.